Thank you for being, for you inviting us to be here. I'm Harvey Buett, and I felt at home quite quickly in coming to this church, because when I met Mike, we're in the same business together, so that's kind of nice. There's a few other fellow Gideons with us this morning, and after the service, feel free to talk to any one of us a little bit more about the ministry of the Gideons. And thank you for that message about Gideon this morning as well. That's who our ministry is named after. He tried to kick it under the bed, but it wouldn't go. That night, Elliot Oswit had planned to kill himself. It was Christmas Eve, and his wife had just locked him out of the house. But who could blame her? He had not been a good father or husband. For years he had traveled the world, pursued his own success, and indulged in all kinds of immoral activities. He was away from home even as his wife struggled to raise two of their grandchildren and to cope with cancer at the same time. So there was Elliot in a hotel room on Christmas Eve with a gun to end it all. But on the TV was a Gideon Bible, and this irritated Elliot. He knocked it onto the floor, and that's when he tried to kick it under the bed, but the frame was solid right to the floor. And so there was the Bible laying open. He decided to pick it up. And he read, his eyes fell on John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Elliot spent 3 days in that hotel room, and something kept him reading the Bible. Later, he attended a church with his wife, and he gave his life to Christ. But that's not the end of the story. Elliot was called by God into ministry and is now a pastor in North Carolina. The Gideons International in Canada is a ministry that's focused on the Word and sharing it with the lost. Since 1911, it's been our vision to personally share God's message with those we meet, and to also place it, copies of God's Word, into along the intersections of life and in people's hands. And since the very beginning, local churches have been our biggest partner in executing that vision. No doubt you are familiar with the Bible in the hotels. Looks like this. And you may also be familiar with the youth testaments that's given to grade 5 students. Look like this. If you're older, it might look a little different than this. And maybe, just possibly, you have seen a scripture in a hospital or a senior's home. But we also give testaments to university students, to police, to military, and to prisoners. On a local level, we have what we call the Wolf Creek Camp, which encompasses basically the Wolf Creek School Division. There's about 18 of us members. We meet regularly for prayer, fellowship, and plan our scripture distribution. The schools in this area are still open to receiving, they have the grade 5s receive their testaments. So every year between 600 and 700 testaments are given out by the members. Every 2 years or so, we stop by each of the area hotels and replace any missing or damaged Bibles. We stop in at the police stations and healthcare facilities and offer scripture there too. By God's grace, last year, the Gideons worldwide distributed over 65 million copies of God's Word. Every one of those scriptures is a potential miracle in the hands of the person reading it. The promise of Isaiah 55, verse 11, is fulfilled, and God's Word does not return void. As men, women, boys, and girls come to Christ through reading a Gideon Bible. In addition to the much-needed work in Canada, including our northern communities, Bibles are also needed around the world. So as Canadian Gideons, we are focusing on those needs as well. Members are volunteering their time and travel costs to go to countries where the need is so great. Peru, Bolivia, Ukraine, and Ethiopia are some of the countries we've been to recently. To give you an idea of the need, we will watch just a 5-minute DVD of the work that has been done in Ethiopia recently. So we'll watch that now. So I hope this gives you a sense of the need of Scripture in other countries. About a month ago, a group left for Chile and found a similar need there too, and just a desire to have God's Word. And in August, another group is going to Zambia. Let's take some time now to see what Scripture says about God's Word. Jesus talks about it in Matthew, and Isaiah talks about it in the Old Testament. We will read from Scripture, and then I would like to share some thoughts from Pastor Daryl Bam, who pastors a small church in central Wisconsin. So our first passage is Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. And then some verses farther on. So chapter 13 of Matthew, starting at verse 1. That day Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And a large crowd gathered to him, so he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And then we're going to read starting at verse 18 of that same chapter, where Jesus explains this parable to his disciples. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary, and with affliction or persecution arises because of the word, he immediately follows away. And the one whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed is sown on good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And then just a couple verses from Isaiah. We alluded to that earlier, Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter of for which I sent it. This is God's word. How sweet it is when God blesses us with the benefits of reading, hearing, and learning His word. The parable that Jesus tells describes three elements: the seed, the sower, and the soil. The seed, God's word. The nature of God's word is that it has authority. It is true and it is complete. It contains everything God wants us to know about Himself. The purpose of God's word is to save people from sin through faith in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." It is also to teach believers how to serve God in righteousness and holiness, and to give God all the glory. The soil, those who hear God's word. If the soil is too hard, the devil can snatch the word away. If the soil is too shallow, persecution can cause faith to wither. And if the soil is too crowded, wealth and cares and the cares of this world can choke out our faith. The sower, God. The sower is generous in scattering His word to all people. The sower is patient, slowly changing our lives from within by His word. The sower is productive, always getting more out of His word than we ever put into it. In Colossians it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." What kind of soil are we? All of us must admit that at one time or another, we've been less than desirable soil for God's word. There are many forces at work, both inside and outside of us, that try to rob us of all the benefits of God's powerful, effective, and saving word. We fight against the temptation of worldly distractions. Days may often go by when we don't seem to have the time to even open the Bible. We struggle to understand a difficult passage. But God does not leave us to face these enemies alone. By God's grace and with His help, even struggling to overcome these enemies can help us to become more faithful. As we read in Isaiah, "And so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." We don't always feel like we're strong enough to overcome the enemies of the word, but we know God can, because Jesus did it on the cross. Speaking about His death, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only one seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." That's good news. Jesus died and rose for us. By God's grace, we rejoice to taste the fruit of that saving act. By the power of God's living word, we have been brought into a life of faith in Christ. And each day, we can live that new life through faith in Christ. There's even better news. These are only the first fruits. The real harvest will be in the kingdom of heaven, where no one will be able to rob us of the benefits of God's word ever again. Praise God. This message is for us, but also for all people. Jesus' last words were to go and make disciples of all nations. God is the sower in the parable, but he often uses us to help do his work, as Jesus commanded. The Gideons is just one of many organized ways of spreading God's word. Yes, many of the scriptures that we place may be on rocky places or among thorns, but we leave it to God's Spirit to grow a crop that can yield perhaps 160 or 30 times. You may be wondering, how can you help with the Gideon in spreading God's word? The number one need is for prayer. We pray, please, and pray with us for a steady flow of funds to purchase scriptures and to open doors to communities, to schools, and to countries that need God's word the most. Perhaps consider becoming a member. All the Gideon Bibles are distributed by us as members. So we are always looking for born-again Christians who will help with this important task. And consider a financial gift. Every scripture we distribute and every salvation testimony, testimonies like that of Elliot Oswit, is the result of the generosity of people just like you. So you can come to see us after the service if you would like to know more about the Gideon ministry. It has been a privilege for me and all of us to be part of your worship service today. Thank you for this opportunity to share with you God's word and about the ministry of the Gideons. May God bless you.